everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday.
And my name is Autumn Rains. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. I know this is coming out a little bit later than normal, but we have a special episode planned for you because it is officially Portland's Pride Week.
Yay! Welcome to Pride, everybody.
Yeah, me and Autumn are both participating in Portland Pride's main stage. Autumn, tell the kids when you're performing this weekend.
I'm going to be performing at 5:50 on the main stage at the waterfront on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there on Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m.
But you're hosting. That's so exciting.
I am hosting. I don't think I get to perform, which is absolutely okay. It's a great honor to participate just in Portland's Pride because, you know, we're a couple years after COVID, and this is really great that we get to, like, be a part of this, just in general.
I've literally been dreaming about this for all of my career. Like, I was a junior Pride when I was 20 years old, and I was like, oh my god, does that mean I get to do Pride? And they're like, no, you won our contest, but you don't get to perform. And I was like, oh, but now, like, years and years later, I am finally, like, 7 years later, able to perform.
That's literally exciting. I think that it's one of the great achievements to perform at your city's Pride Festival. And I will say that they did accept a lot of drag artists this year, and that's really wonderful.
They actually accepted everyone, which is so cool.
That is cool because it makes the Who Are Nobody feels left out, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
They even have like 3 stages so they can make sure that all the bands have a place, the drag queens have a space. And even, like, the Portland Gay Men's Choir is having a space.
Yeah, PGMC is going to be there. We met somebody tonight. We host every third Thursday of the month. This month it was tonight, actually.
For Pride.
Drag to Dinner at Il Salito. And it was a really beautiful occasion. And there was a man there from PGMC, Portland Gay Men's Chorus, who was like, yeah, we're going to be at Portland Pride. And I was like, that's so cool.
Well, and shout out to our good friend Evan. Evan is part of that as well. He had a solo for the Disney show that just happened.
Yeah.
Shout out to our very good friend Evan.
Yeah, we love Evan so much. And so this weekend is a little bit hectic across the board. DJ Queer Cub, my husband, is going to be DJing apparently the roof, I guess, stage for the boat ride, or like the top DJ space for.
Yeah, the boat ride is like an incredible thing that has happened every year for a very long time. I finally get to go and see it because I'm not booked during that time.
Yeah, and I've heard about, the one thing is, like, I will tell you this, I've heard about the boat ride ever since I moved here in 2019, and it's always been like this huge thing, and Mariah Paris Balenciaga,
love her,
is gonna be there, and she's the headliner of that, as well as a lot of locals, and yeah, so Autumn's gonna join, and then right after, you can catch her on Pride main stage after that, and then she's also, go ahead and tell the kids where you're gonna be out for Misfits.
I'm going to be at Misfits tomorrow night, which is Friday night. I will be there for the drag show. I'll be performing. I'll be co-hosting with the incredible Sequin McQueen. Then I might be there longer. We don't know about the burlesque event. They might need us, they might not, but I'll be there to announce them on. And then Saturday night, I will be there to announce all of the bands every hour, which will be so incredible. Be there again, once again, with Sequin McQueen, who is fucking incredible. I will just be there to change outfits, and she will be there to be pretty.
Fantastic. And literally, the other thing, too, is what's really kind of an honor is when there are queer spaces, so like Scandals, CC's, Misfits, when they ask you to host a show, it's actually kind of a big thing because what happens is, like, that's what happens for Pride. Like, they asked the owner of that space reached out to Autumn to say, hey, can you help co-host this entire weekend, and this is a huge deal. We were just there tonight for King Fest, I believe is what it's called.
It was so cool.
It was so cool. It was packed to the brim. It were so many artists. It was produced by Phantom X. DJ was DJ Aura, and like it was phenomenal. It was so cool. It was packed to the brim. People spilling out. It was amazing.
And if you don't know Phantom X, they own Planet X Vintage.
Planet X Vintage with
on Belmont.
Yeah, with Exoskeleton. Yes. A great place, amazing. I want to give that shout out because I think that's just really amazing. And like what I saw tonight was just so cool. That's actually part of the reason why this episode is coming out so late is because Autumn and I were, you know, doing things. And I want to talk real briefly. We got booked to do, the best way I could say this, we got booked to do a corporate event for Columbia Sportswear.
Fantastic. It was our second year in a row. Like,
yeah.
It's so cool to be booked at a corporation 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and we were able to bring Devlin Lynn Phoenix and Celine Latrine with us, which was just an amazing opportunity as well. And the crowd was, the first year they had it, it was a minimal number. And this year there were 300 plus people at the event.
It was really fun for me to say Celine Latrine at a corporate gig. I was like, that's the best, like, drag introduction of a name. Like, drag queens have the best names. Like, me and Coco are pretty PC. Not that she's not, but, like, just, like, having good old-fashioned drag names was so exciting.
Yeah, and so hopefully we're going to have some photos posted. Maybe for this episode, maybe not. The person who booked us, like, thank you so much. Columbia Sportswear, thank you so much. This was a really amazing event for us, and we loved every single bit about it.
And the person that booked us even came to our second gig tonight, which is so cool. We love them. Like, they met us from going to some of our gigs, which was so cool.
Yeah, and so at this point, me and Autumn are actually going to do a little bit of interviews. But before we get into that, I have to ask you, listeners, how are you doing this evening?
Oh my God, Coco, what are you wearing?
Oh, wait, what am I wearing? Oh my goodness. So tonight I was wearing a full white wig that I got from Barbie.
Full Ursula.
Full Ursula from Barbie Valentine. Purples and blues and black and beautiful. Autumn, what were you wearing?
I was wearing fake Yeezys and any outfit that I could match with it. It was this cute little, like, Dua Lipa levitating two-piece with some bell-bottom pants, a crop top with a star on it, and these flat croc-ass shoes.
Yes, and then Autumn has been in her ponytail phase, so she had, I think, 3 ponytails.
I only brought ponytails. Really like them. They snatch my face back. I love it. Your aunt actually is the one that inspired this for me. We went to go visit her back in January, mm-hmm. and she's like, why do you dress so old?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I do really dress vintage, and so I've really gone into my ponytail era since then, because I'm like, I'm growing my hair out right now, I want to wear ponytails, so like, while I can't put it in my hair now, I want to put it in the wigs that I already own.
T. All right, so tell us in the comments, how are you doing this evening?
And what are you wearing?
And what are you wearing? And we'll be back with an interview after the break.
How many of you are fans of RuPaul's Drag Race? Well, I have an event for you. On July 20th, after Portland's Pride weekend, we have an event called Hangover, where it's going to be a drag show featuring Cornbread, the snack, Jete from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. Get your tickets now. We already sold out of our early bird and our mid bird tickets already. So get your tickets now, pre-sale, because they do go up at the door. It's at Triple Nickel Pub on July 20th at 9 o'clock p.m. We hope to see you there, all you Drag Race fans and drag fans. Visit www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel. That address again is www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into What They Tell You podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, but I've actually have 2 people with me here. It's actually my drag children. First up to the stage, Carrie OK Holiday. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi.
And then I have my newest drag child, whose name to be determined.
TBD.
TBD. So we're going to call them TBD for the rest of this interview because it's a drag related podcast.
But that's kind of like a really iconic drag name.
TBD.
TBD. TBD.
Yeah, it'd be like...
Carrie's Living.
Carrie's Living for this name so much.
That's your drag name now. Like, yeah. I'm so sorry.
It's the drag name.
Going back to, like, when drag parents name their drag queens or drag kings, like, you have no choice now.
Yeah. So, say hi to the kids, TBD.
Hey, how's it going?
Yay!
So masculine.
So masculine. TBD just turned 21, I'm assuming, in the last 365.
Yes, they actually moved here from Ashland.
Yes, where your drag child is from.
Yes.
No, both of them, aren't
they? Well, they're not from there. They just went to school there.
Oh, okay, cool. We're talking about Blue Dinah and Je ne sais quoi.
Yes, they host that really incredible show, The Blueprint, down there. And that's where you first found us, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, let's start with this. Let's go into that. TBD, talk about your first time at Blueprint and what was like getting exposed to drag in that well.
Well, it was like the only gay event that was happening in like, I think like a 3-month kind of like time frame. And I was desperate for anything, LGBT since Ashland is so, straight and cis. And
Ashlyn, the place with like the Shakespeare Festival was a straight place.
Well, everyone's horny for Shakespeare that they don't have time to be horny for anything else. That's and true. And I like walked into Autumn reading this one queen down, and
what did I do? Oops.
No, I mean she. I had
to the pageant.
I did go to
that
the
was
pageant.
Your first show.
That was my first show.
Oh my goodness, like an A-hole.
My first show, and in your birthday was my first time being at a bar.
Me and Coco actually hosted a pageant down in Ashland. It was the Blueprint pageant. We took it very. It was so much fun. We took it very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's where we met the winners. Actually, we booked them in shows of ours.
Yes, the winner was Trina Slay. Love her to death. She is literally iconic, and I can't wait to get her back up here. But yeah. That was your first show?
Yeah, that was my first show. I went because Flamboyant was there, and I'm close with Flamboyant, so.
Oh,
Flamboyant is great. They're I would say they're one of the best drag kings down in the Southern Oregon area.
They need to stop hitting on me because I am down. That's where we're at with that.
Be careful.
Like, oh wow, okay.
Like they performed like even up here, like
yeah. Mm-hmm. I've booked them several times up here as well, which has been a really amazing journey. So I want you to tell us real quickly here, what was your first, have you ever been to a Pride Festival?
I have been to a Pride Festival. It was in San Francisco, probably.
Oh damn.
2016, I think. I went with my mom.
That's great.
As soon as the Smirnoff boys came around on the stilts and the Speedo, she was like, "Drew, where is my phone?"
Oh,
I was like, "Mom,
you've already done so many things that won't happen in Portland."
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, you're in for a underwhelming experience."
Oh yeah, you're good. Wait, have you been to Portland's big Pride Festival yet?
No, I've never been to a Portland Pride before. COVID happened, and then right. I turned 21, and it just, I've been waiting for things.
Portland is such a fun place. Like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, no, I've done a lot of these parades here. Like, it used to be this like really long, like hours long parade that would start at 11 a.m. It would go until like 2:30, which is insane. But that's when Embers was open. And now it just like, I'm not sure the route's gonna be this year, but all the parades seem to like be shorter in Portland this year.
They do. I feel like Portland has always been aggressively queer and queer adjacent. When I first came to the first Pride Festival here in 2019, I was actually kind of surprised that there wasn't more people here, but that's because I didn't know the city very well. The thing is, like, when you have so many people in your city that are queer, they're queer all year long. They don't feel like they necessarily have to come to a festival to be more queer. They're like, I was already queer every day this week, and I'm tired. they're like, I don't feel like I have to go out. But I do feel like the events, though. Like, so you have done some of the June events for Pride and some of the July events for Pride. What have you been thinking about what you've been seeing now that you've been 21 and being able to be in the nightlife scene?
I mean, it's always more fun when you're 21, but also, like, the trans community specifically. Like, before, I was just going to Pride events just to be queer and just to be in that kind of space or whatever. But now I specifically look for trans spaces. And so, like, having events like such as Transalicious, where, like, everything is trans-based, I really value that. And having people who, like, understand who I am, like, that's the type of environment I want to be in, and it's so much more available and accessible here in Portland than anywhere else.
And not to be intrusive, but do you identify as trans?
Yes, transmasculine.
And I'm assuming you identify as pansexual?
I'm bisexual, actually, just because, like, I have such a like, preference towards femme people that, like, pansexual feels like it doesn't fit for me.
No, that's totally fine.
Also, pansexual also feels like kind of like spicy bi to me, so.
It's not. That's the name of this episode.
Pansexual and spicy bi.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we found the name.
We found the name. That is the name of this episode at this point. So I did want to know a little bit here. So do you feel like, so say that you end up with, so for those of you out there, TBD is very, even though it's a problematic term, very passable, I will say. So if you end up with a woman and have that kind of a relationship, do you feel like it's going to negate your queerness?
Absolutely not, because when I, like, I mean, I'm literally wearing a tank top right now that says nobody knows that I'm trans, and, like, it's...
talking about us. We were in a movie, and he mentioned just casually that he's trans, and we're like, you're trans?
Yeah, Autumn was like, hold on, it actually wasn't even about being trans, it was something, like, so far removed. And then all of us in the car, because we're all super woke in the car, and, like, we were gonna get to it immediately, but Autumn was like, hold on, car, hold on, stop the, Autumn stopped the car in the middle of the road. You're trans? And you're trans?
Trans?
And literally all of us turned, why there was oncoming traffic at our face. Yes. And
he was like, Yes.
Did you not?
I'm so surprised.
I was like, wow, because we'd been hanging out with TBD for a very long time now. And so, like,
oh, this is absolutely your drag name, by the way. Like, TBD is a great drag name. Like, it's just,
no,
I'm so sorry. It's happened.
Name me.
T-E-E.
B-E-A.
Like the Arthur.
Like the Arthur.
D-E-E.
Yeah.
TBD. Oh my god, I love it. I love it so much.
Until you find, because we all had a drag name.
Trans boy drag.
You could pick any boy, any.
So you're starting doing drag. Are you gonna do? Are you, like, trying to, like, go into masculine drag or feminine drag?
I'm more comfortable with masculine drag. I also think that, like, because I am so quote unquote passable, when I've told people that I was trans, they were like, "Oh, you're going the other way," and I'm like, "No. I've been there, done that. I want you to see me as a trans masculine." See my scars.
So, what is the artist you would most gravitate towards for a first number?
Oh yeah, what musical artist would you think you would want to perform for your first number? It's a big deal. You'll think about it for the rest of your life, to be honest.
My first was the Lady Gaga. What was yours, Coco?
My first was Pussycat Dolls. That song. When I Grow.
Both the head.
Yeah, that was fun. That was my very first song.
I think it would be really fun to do a song by Orville Peck.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'd be really fun.
I love Orville Peck. They had that full TV show, which was so cool to, like, highlight underrated, like, country artists from countries that, like, don't really have American country.
Yeah. So my last question for you before we get Carrie back on here is, I want to know, why do you want to do drag at all?
I always want to, like, develop who I am as a person more, and doing drag is something that scares me but also intrigues me, and I think we need more transmasculine drag representation, just because, like, you know, the transmasc drag people that I do know do trans femme drag, and that's wonderful, but I'd also love to see more transmasc drag, and if I don't see it, I'll do it.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. I think you're going to find, when you start getting into it, there's a lot of communities that actually have it, more than you think. And so, not because, it's just because a lot of the times that I said this a couple episodes ago, that I've been introducing people as drag artists or drag entertainers because, like, I really don't care about someone's gender. I care about what they're presenting to me on stage. And so when you had asked me, you're like, who are the trans mask performers who do trans mask drag? And I was like, oh, I only know, like, a couple, because I don't necessarily care how somebody identifies out of drag. I care what they present to me in drag, because when they send me videos, right, they're like, oh, send me a video, send me a picture, and I'm like, cool, you look great, you look, you're doing the thing, I'm gonna book you in a show. I don't necessarily care. I care about, I call it performer pronouns. A lot of people have been changing their performer pronouns over the last couple of years, outside of their out of drag pronouns, and so, like, it's been a really beautiful journey, because I will openly admit this, I accidentally misgendered somebody yesterday, because I just didn't know. They had asked me a question, I said yes ma'am, and they're like, oh, I don't go by those pronouns at all. And I was like, oh, didn't know, I'm so sorry. Like, because that's just the reality of our world. Like, when you see people out of drag, a lot of drag culture is always a lot of femme pronouns, just in general, like, hey girl, like, hey bitch, like, hey girl, how you doing, like,
sometimes,
hey sis,
it's hard,
it's hard,
but hey, also queen. Like, I've learned a lot, like, when someone just tells you your pronouns, just run with it. Like, and when they're like, no, that's not it, just be like, oh, I'm so sorry, and then run.
Yeah.
And always ask.
Not from them, just, like, with it.
Yeah, and I think that we should always ask. Me and Autumn never actually ask people what their pronouns are and for a drag show, because we always just say entertainer, because we don't...
I just say drag artist, drag entertainer.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter to us what you're doing out of drag. We care about what you're presenting to us. So, like, and I think that more people in Portland should really move in that direction. Like, I want people to really start recognizing, like, stop using queen all the
Not
time.
Not even just in Portland. Like, yeah, across the world. We were at a show earlier, and someone was like, please tip our queens. And I was like, well, there's a king in the show.
Yeah, there's a king in the show. So let's not be that person, right?
But it's also kind of hard for, like, both of us, because we both just necessarily don't care. Like, if you misgender us, like, yeah, we're like, oh, like, it's okay, but we don't get offended. But some people do, like, feel really seriously about it. So it's always just, like, a mindful moment.
Mindful. As we move forward in Portland. Especially we're going to Pride Weekend when this episode is coming out. So, Carrie, you're up to the stage at this point.
Wait, I have one more question.
You have one more question for TBD?
I have one more question. TBD, come back.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you have a history in performing? You went to SOU, which is a really big performing college.
Not for anything performing related. I was a nursing major for a while there.
What?
Before
nursing
major? I know. I was at every party. That
News
was like
to her
drag,
mother.
Drag, or not drag, but like drama majors. And they were like, oh, what's your major? And I'd be like, I'm nursing. And they're like, what the hell are you doing?
So here? Do you have any experience performing?
I've been in a few plays, like one or two. And then I tried to do the talent show every year that they had them. I did anything from stand up to singing and stuff like that, but then people took it the wrong way. And like, I did When I Was Your Man by Bruno Mars when I was in fifth grade, when I was like transitioning to a mask name. And then like literally at recess, like an hour afterwards, I had parents coming up to me being like, oh my god, you're so brave, thank you so much for like doing that for our children. And I was like, I just wanted to do something that was like out of my comfort zone. Can I get back to
We can cut this if you're not okay with sharing it.
No.
When did you start transitioning?
So, like, socially transitioning, I started asking other people to use he, him pronouns for me, like, 3-4 years old. I started going by different names, like, second or third grade, and then I socially transitioned around 11 years old, was the youngest on testosterone and got top surgery for a while in 2015 until they did somebody who was 12 years old.
That's incredible.
And yeah. So I've been going by Drew and on testosterone for over 7.5 years.
Yay.
Congratulations, honey.
Well, that's audience, amazing. I want y'all to give it up for Drew.
Yeah, leave some positive comments on agemofasecretpodcast.com for Drew. That is their out of drag name.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Remember, lovely. It's not just LGB, it's LGBT, y'all.
LGBTQ plus alphabet soup.
We're going to bring Carrie in.
Hi, Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me. This is my first time here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Carrie is another one of my drag children. Carrie O.K. Holiday, who is a karaoke DJ, a DJ, and also a drag performer who is all over the city doing multiple things.
She's also just an aficionado of bullshit, and I love it.
Oh, aficionado. And I'm going to start with something non-drag related real quickly here. Me and Autumn and Carrie went to Hawaii. Actually together.
For Valentine's Day February, when Valentine's Day happens.
Yeah. Anniversary.
Yeah, for my anniversary with my husband, DJ Queer Cub, and we all went together and we had the best time. We were drunk pretty much from the second we got there to the second we left. And
the second we left is really important because we bought too many drinks and we had to finish the bottle of vodka in the pool on the last night or else they wouldn't let us on the plane.
We immediately got off the plane. We went to the nearest liquor store that was closing in 15 minutes. We're like, okay, we're just going to grab a couple bottles. We got like $600 worth of vodka.
Oh, it was so bad. And it was so funny because that was also not a cheap grocery store. It was just the closest one to the hotel
room. It was the only open one.
The only open one. And we paid way too much money. And it was a beautiful journey. And we have traveled with Carrie now several times at this point. And
they went with us to Austin.
Austin,
for
Texas.
The drag festival.
Yes, that was absolutely amazing. And I want to say, Carrie has come up with a phrase that I love so much. It's apparently our group chat name. It's called Not That Deep.
And it's so hard for me because as a person who struggles with everything being really important, Coco would be like, or Carrie will be like, it's not that deep. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's not that deep. I have to, like, reconsider my life.
So, interview time for you. So, let's start with, like I do with drag artists on this podcast every single time. I want to give you the full experience. Let's start with, where did your drag name come from?
So my drag name came from hosting karaoke. I was trying to come up with a name, and I bounced around a couple. One name that I've never told this one before, the one that I landed on that I thought it was going to be, was I thought it was going to be first name Jack, middle name Mia, and last name Officer. So it'd be like Jack Me Officer. But
oh, wow.
Flawless immediately was like, really, in a 2020 climate, you're going to have Officer as your last name? And I was like, you're absolutely right. Dropping that right now. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And then I was just hosting karaoke at Suki's, and I was like, wait, karaoke? I wonder if I can do a play on that. And I was like, oh, Carrie, okay?
I always have been like, Carrie, no key. I would like, Coco introduced me to you, and I was like, ah, opportunity missed. But like, you can actually carry a key. How long have you been doing karaoke for?
I sang karaoke for my first time in 2014. Wow. Fell in love with it. I started going to the same bar every single Friday and Saturday night when they had it. And then about a year, one of their KJs on routine was like, hey, I'm actually leaving. You're here. Like, can I show you how to, you know, punch in the carafun and turn up and down the volume? And so I started working my first karaoke job in 2015.
And is that at Suki's?
It was actually at the clubhouse. I got hired at Suki's about 6 months before the lockdown. Oh, wow. So I was just kind of covering shifts and filling in when I could. And right when I got my night, they're like, oh, you're going to have Sundays. We went into lockdown, and it took about 2 years for karaoke to come back, you know, in full swing.
Speaking of the lockdown, you were huge during the lockdown. Like, you hosted one of the biggest shows as soon as things were allowed inside. Even outside, you, like, had a thing on a patio, you brought people back into a theater. Like, what was that like being
massive?
Honestly, I have to go out right now and say that I could not have done any of that without a lot of the help at Star Theater, especially one of my besties, DJ Trashley. She is the one that had the residency at Star Theater, was DJing there, and brought me into the fold. And we were supposed to do a New Year's show together, but she got COVID, and I was like, well, I'm not going to DJ for 6 hours straight. So we decided to throw a drag show in the middle of my two sets, and that kind of sparked the, like, oh, we should bring drag into Star Theater. And so that was a really fun time working with her and doing shows with her. And so she had always wanted to do a monster ball, and I was like, girl, we got to do it. Let's throw the biggest pride party. And so it was really awesome to sell out that theater and have so many Gaga fans. And
I loved that show. That show was so iconic. I performed at the Gaga show, and it was so cool. They did the entire Chromatica, because that came out during the pandemic.
Yes, it did.
And so no one, like, at a club listened to it all the way through. And in Portland, I feel like karaoke was the first person to play that from start to finish at a club, and it was iconic.
It was so much fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, and actually, I do want to give Carrie their flowers about this, because at the time of COVID, Carrie was, like, kind of getting, actually wasn't really performing in drag yet, per se, but was booking drag artists and also being super open to feedback about, like, who they should book and then who they know. Like, they were at Local Lounge a lot, you know, like, looking for talent and whatever, and, like, they were creating these really amazing shows. And I loved the Star Queen show, because it was showcasing, even if they were a popular entertainer at the time, it was giving them a notoriety that they had never seen before. I remember going to the Family of Valentine Star Theater
House
show.
House
of Valentine show with Vivica Valentine and all of her babies, because she has 1,000.
So many babies.
And it was so fun and so exciting, and seeing, like, all of those people, like, entertaining. It was just, like, a really great experience that you had put together. And also, I want to ask you this question, because you're one of the few people who do this. Like, how have you found your reception for... Carrie will do what's called, like, a curated show, where, like, the music kind of goes into the next number, and then there's, like, hosting this as a track versus, like, hosting on a microphone.
It's kind of, like, the closest thing to Darcelle's without being Darcelle's, because Darcelle will just go number to number, but Carrie, like, curates it so it's good.
Yes.
Transitions and voiceovers and little TikToks, and little things that kind of fill it in. I stumbled upon that, honestly, when I needed to do a show And I was also performing a number in it. And I was like, how am I, if I'm going to be running on stage and hitting play on the next track, like I won't have time. Oh, it was Henny's slumber party show, Ashniko show. Okay. We had her as the host. She wanted me to do a duet with Obsidian and then a number by myself. And I was just like, you know, that was really stressful. And so I was like, if I ever perform in a show that I also have to do something again, like I'm going to try creating a track or creating a theme. And one venue that has really supported that idea has been the Cannabis Lounge in Oregon City. Every time they're like, let's come up with a theme. How can we support you? Like, I don't know. I really like putting together theme shows.
Well, because you're not also just karaoke. You also are a DJ. What is your DJ name?
DJ Danimal.
DJ Danimal.
Oh my goodness. Well. Did you base that off of like the Danimals commercials when we were all growing up?
Where did that come from? Yeah.
My friends always used to call me Danimal for some reason. Like, hey, Danimal. Hey, you know. Oh. But like, and then I always used to drink the drinkable yogurts, Danimal. And so then
you're just trying to get that Zach and Cody resort fee.
And so when I needed to come up with a DJ name, when I started DJing with Ashley, it just was like a no-brainer. I'm like, oh, DJ Danimal. Oh. The X in the middle is kind of like a tribute to like my scene days, like in my MySpace days. It's like yeah. Everyone would always be, you know, like XX Danner, XX Dangerous, XX, you know, and stuff.
Number one on your MySpace.
Well, Tom, of course, but who was your first and second?
Honestly, it was probably friends I had in high school. My MySpace years were like 7th grade, like freshman year, and then Facebook took over. So it was probably just some like besties. I didn't add up like too many strangers. I added any cute boys, but if they were my top 8, it was definitely like my 8 besties.
I was never allowed to have MySpace.
Yeah, I'm really old, so my top 8 was a really big thing at the time. It's almost like Facebook cancellations nowadays. Like, I would have friends who'd be like, if they moved down even one spot on your top 8, it was a conversation. Like, because I was one of those people who, I had Thomas 1. Tom was always 1 for me.
Why?
It's just like a thing that people, when they got on it, they just like...
It's like downloading threads and be like, Zuck is my first follower.
Zuck is my first follower. And like, so I did, my best friend Shane at the time was my number 2. And I was also his number 2. And then I remember he got a boyfriend, a long-term boyfriend, who he ended up marrying, who got his number 2 spot. And it was a conversation.
Are they still together?
No.
Oh, so like,
well, maybe they shouldn't have put them as their number 2.
Yeah, honestly, that was a whole journey for me.
Oh my goodness, I never had MySpace, and when I got Facebook, I didn't tell my mother, but I was away at camp, and it was a crisis.
It's a crisis.
Denise was mad.
Denise is Autumn's mother, listeners. So a couple more questions that I have for you, as I want to know, like, so your drag is really eclectic in a lot of different ways. And actually, let's. Because I do believe in, like, let's being transparent about things. Harry recently did a mix that people didn't really necessarily love for what's going on in our political climate, even though the song is, like, talking that you shouldn't do these things or whatever. Like, that's what it was about. I booked Harry to do a show, and it was great. And she performed the song, and it got a lot of great reception. But so a lot of the mixes that you come up with actually have like a really powerful message in a lot of different areas. You have a lot of mixes that are powerful messages. So what is it like? What is your process for coming up with mix? What was it like when you got people giving you feedback that they didn't necessarily think you should do this mix right now because of the political climate? And what's it like for what's next for you?
So a lot right there. So the creative process, honestly, it's kind of like a lot of weed and a lot of like doom scrolling on my phone. Like I'll find something, you know, that just kind of catches my attention. It's usually like a little snippet of a TikTok, a little snippet of some reel where I'm like, I don't know what the theme is going to be, but I really like, I see this interaction. I see this line that like, I want to say this to an audience. I want the music to cut out and I want to say this little bit. And so then I kind of start building around that. I try to think of songs that are maybe on theme, or it's usually when I find the first song, I'll listen to it and then a word will come out. You know, it might be the word strut, and I'll be like, oh wait, there's another song that uses the word strut. I wonder if I can cut it there. And then I'll start listening to that song, and then I'll listen to that song until I find a point where I can cut it. And so it kind of just like starts, and then by the end of the day it's like, oh shit, I have this 7-minute mix. I should probably cut it down a little bit, and then
that's cool. There.
They're always so much fun. My question going off of that is, what early 2000s movie that you haven't made a mix off yet would you want to make a mix off of?
That I haven't yet? Oh, man. I really... I I feel like it'd be a tribute to, like, little adolescent me, but I would need to do a mix that's, like, Final Destination and, like, some tips from it. Because I watched every single one of those movies 1,000 times when I had no business watching them at, like, 9 years old. You know, I snuck over to my friend Amber's house, and they showed me the first two. And then I snuck and bought myself a copy of the third one. And then by then, you know, I'm a teenager now and then an adult, so I can watch them. But
how's that? So my other two questions is, so, you know, obviously you got some controversy about one of the mixes you recently made. So how did you navigate that situation? And then what's next for Carrie in the sense of mixes?
I will be fully transparent. I got more than a handful of performers that wrote me addressing the concern. I only responded to one of them. At first, I was busy when the first person messaged me, and I was like, oh, I should go back to this. I should say something. Then I got three more people in my inbox, and I was like, okay, like, I kind of retreated a little bit. But then the fifth person that said something, I was like, all right, there was other questions involved in the message. So I was like, I need to respond to these, so I should also touch it. I haven't actually really performed, I don't think I've performed in drag since, and maybe I did a pop-up number.
Yeah, you did a pop-up number.
And I've been kind of more reclusive. I've been trying not to post as much online. It's a weird feeling when you do something and in your mind you're like, this has good intention, I'm just gonna be funny, I'm gonna be satirical, and you do it a bunch of times and every single time people think it's funny, people say it was their favorite number, you know, people, you know, want to take pictures with you at the end. And then so then to do it at a home-based bar or home-based club or the Cannabis Lounge, where I really respect a lot, and then to get so much negative feedback and to not get any praise and actually get people, they're like, I actually don't want to be in future productions with you because this really offended me so deeply. It's like hard to balance, like, you know, I want to listen to those people and I want to be like, yeah, you're right, I'm going to retire this number. But it's like kind of like one of those, it's kind of like the cancel culture and like navigating, and Portland really has, you know, I feel like there's like a silver lining in there, you know, where it's like, it's really good to hold people accountable. I feel like my community held me accountable. You know, people within my production felt comfortable enough to me to approach a sensitive talk with me, which I really respect. And I really like respect them and love them for that. But no one wants to hear that you hurt someone's feelings or that you made someone feel a type of way. You made people uncomfortable, or you made people leave, or you made people not want to work with you in the future. Like, that's, no one wants to hear that. And so I feel like I made a mistake and I can own that mistake and I can move from it.
I think that's beautiful. And my advice with that would be, it's not really advice, it's just more so for the listeners who are listening to this episode right now. I think that drag, people are like, well, does drag have rules? Does drag have limits? Does drag have things that you shouldn't touch on? And there are hidden rules to drag, as any field. There's always hidden rules and whatever. And the thing is, I think that the mix is actually, I had seen Carrie perform the mix twice, actually, and it was well received before some of this other stuff that came back. And my audiences really enjoyed it. They thought it was fun. I registered in my brain that it could be considered controversial, but at the same time, the thing about drag is it's supposed to push the limits of what we're comfortable with. Like, we're already dressing as exaggerated forms of people. Right. And so, like, it's already supposed to be an exaggeration. And as I've been doing a lot more family friendly shows, what I'm recognizing when people come to those shows is they're like, we don't want you to take away everything that makes drag drag. We want it to be a something that you can, like, still, it's still supposed to be, to a degree, taboo. It's supposed to be something that's like me and Autumn performed at a corporate gig earlier today. And, you know, and it was aggressively family-friendly corporate gig. You have to follow with all the HR rules, right? And, like, but we're still, like, presenting hyper-femme to this audience and, like, doing something that's considered, of course, of Florida, you know, it's really negative. So it just, I think that if we police, that's what I meant to say, if we police drag too much, it loses the benefit of what drag can actually be. And I think that there are hidden rules, sure, don't offend people, don't hurt people, but if we put too many rules on it, then it's just going to be a white collar job that nobody's going to want to do in the first place. It's still supposed to be art. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to push boundaries, it's supposed to make us think. And that mix was funny as hell, in my opinion. I'm not saying that people, like, because people who listen to this, I'm not saying that they're wrong with their critiques and their criticism. What I'm saying is, like, let's take a beat and recognize what the point of the song was.
I don't remember listening to it because I was drunk. Oops.
Wow. I think one, I don't want to invalidate any of the people that said anything. Exactly. And I think the one thing that really stuck with me that was kind of across the board is we're trying so hard to fight a lot of false narratives and fight these yeah. ideas of grooming and pedophilia and everything. And so even though the mix is a parody and it's satirical and it's meant to poke fun and be funny, a lot of performers were worried that, like, you know, could one wrong person that can videotape it, take a 10-second segment out of it, take it out of context, and blow it up and be like, see, we were right. They are groomers. They are pedophiles. They're laughing about it. They're joking about it. They're in on the joke, you know? And so I feel like there's almost a responsibility for me to, like, you know, to get a laugh out of my audience when performing, is it worth it if it's at the expense of my community? Yeah. And I think that was the message that I needed.
Sometimes, not even like in on the joke, they're just like, they're joking about this. Not even that it's in on it, or they're serious about it.
Right. And that's actually one of the feedbacks before it got as bad, big as it did, is that's one of the feedback I gave to Carrie. It's like, I was like, I think it's funny. It went over well, but I said the same thing. I was like, you know, if anybody decides to show up with a camera, they're going to take 4 seconds of that song, not the whole thing, 4 seconds, and use it to hurt our community. So I was like, maybe right now, for what's going on, we shouldn't do it. So I want to go back to something more positive. What's next for Carrie when it comes to mixes?
What is next for Carrie? So I stumbled upon a TikTok that is talking about toxicity in theater, in high school theater, it's like POV, you tried out for the lead role as like a newbie or whatever, and the person's like, I think it's so sweet that you are trying out for the lead role, like, knowing you're not gonna get it. Like, no, I'm not making fun of you, it's so cute. Like, I'm taking notes, like, okay, like, be delusional, like, okay, I got it. And like, why don't I say that to an audience member really bad and just be like, No, I think it's really sweet that you tried out for that. Like, I'm taking notes, I'm just like, be delusional, like, okay, I'm better, you know. So I don't know where I'm gonna go with that, but I'm pretty sure if I watch like Mean Girls one more time, and you know,
I think that could mix in really well with Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. And then there was one about where did that? What was the movie of the one with the girl who get on her knees and say superstar? Like, what is that movie?
Molly Shannon with Superstar.
That would be another mix in with that. There's a lot of lines from that.
It's my favorite already, and I don't want to.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Oh my God.
I'm a motherfucking star. Sometimes when I get nervous, I put my fingers in my armpits. Something like this, like super stuff.
I'm like, she already has it. This is how, like, I'm not creative enough because I'm coming up with stuff that Carrie's like, I did that 6 months ago. Like, you're a little behind the times.
I made my first mix in a very long time, like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, look at me. So creative.
So creative. So as we approach this Mario marker in our episode, I do want to ask this question now, finally, because we're there. If you got into a bar fight, what 2 or 3 Portland drag artists would you want on your team to help you win the fight, and why?
I go in first? My three would be Nene, Atlas, and Shaniqua. I feel like... I just feel like they would have my back and would also not let, you know, they would be like, oh, we're fighting. Okay, we're going to win. And I don't know, I would feel really confident in winning a bar fight if I had those three individuals in my corner.
That is fabulous. I swear.
Everyone's choices.
It's literally everyone's choices. I have not. So the funny thing is, I've never interviewed Shaniqua for this podcast, and I have because she braids my hair. And I told her, I said, girl, every time she braids my hair, usually about once a month. And I always say, she's like, does anybody else pick me? I was like, girl, I've had 2 more people pick you. I literally had your drag sister, Aziza Holiday, in her episode last week, literally chose Shaniqua as well. And like, I was like, dang. And every single person I always says Shaniqua. And she finally said to me, she's like, why does everybody keep picking me? I was like, girl, you know why they keep picking you. Let's be real. Yeah, because you would win that fight for me and I'd have to do nothing. People are very intimidated of Shaniqua in a positive way, but also because she holds that presence. She's a title holder. She's amazing.
And very respected in the community.
She's so respected. And so it's all positive. It's all fun and games. And I will say one day I need to interview her because I want to see who she says. And it would be so iconic if she goes, no, I don't need anybody. I'm good. But like, work.
She's like, Chris will take me home.
Chris will take me home. Chris is her husband. Chris will take me home. So at this point of the episode, because we are at the end, I want Carrie to go around and say what your socials are.
My socials? Okay. Oh my gosh. So my Instagram is still under my government name. It's at Danner, D-A-N-N-E-R, Marshall with two L's. My Facebook is also Danner Marshall. I don't have a Snapchat or a TikTok that you can follow because I am over 30. And
Wait. But you find all of your ideas on TikTok. Do you find them?
They come on my Facebook, like real things, and then I'm like, all right, let's see this username here, and then I type it in Google, and then I use a little YouTube MP4, a little converter stripper thing, and
yes, we do.
You plug in the TikTok link and it strips it for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you just get the audio you need to. Yes. And I will include pictures of Carrie okay. Also talk about, because this is coming out Thursday, talk about your events that you have coming up this week. All of them. That until Sunday.
This week?
Yeah, this week until Sunday.
Like this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Friday night, me and Coco are going to be at Back to Earth.
Back to Earth.
Flawless Shade and Babylon Brooks for their Pride kickoff party. Saturday morning, I'm going to be performing in Jay Colby's brunch at Steg. It's a block party. Immediately right after, which I'm really excited for, I'm hosting an all-ages karaoke at Rogue Hall Brewing from 4 to 6 right by PSU at the View Apartments. It's going to be really, really cute, really good food. And then that night, I'll be at Rise. We Won't Back Down at the Get Down. And then Sunday, of course, Pride Parade in the morning. Right afterwards, I have a private DJ gig at Hotel Vintage, which Coco set me up with, which I'm really thankful for.
Oh, yeah, and then, that's awesome.
And then that night, I am DJing in drag for this Inferno Cabaret that I do once a month, but it's their Pride show, and so they want me to DJ in drag. I think I'm doing a performance. And then, of course, we have Cornbread on that Thursday.
Yeah, Hangover on July 20th.
At Triple Pickle.
Oh, and then I am busy.
And then I am relaxing Friday, and then Saturday I'm treating myself. I'm going to go to the Rebecca Black concert. I am so excited that she's coming in town.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity to not be on a Friday night, but I know Saturday night she's going to kill it just the same. Her new album's really good, and I'm ready to shake my booty and do something not drag.
Gosh, wow. Congratulations. That's amazing. So like I said, I'll have pictures of Carrie on agemofasecretpodcast.com with all of their socials. TVD, what are your socials if you want people to know what they are?
My Instagram is DamianLeyDrew. So it's the DamianLeyDrew. But that's me.
Okay. So you don't have a Twitter, TikTok, or Threads?
No, I don't.
Yay!
I don't understand Threads yet. I'm sorry.
Wow. Yeah, this is a party. And then because Autumn isn't normally on here, Autumn, go ahead and give the kids your social.
I am at the.autumnrains on Instagram, Autumn Rains on Venmo and Cash App.
And Facebook.
Just all the things. R-A-I-N-Z. Not an S. You won't find me. And I will be all over Portland all weekend. I hope to see you at the Hangover Show on the 20th with Cornbread, the snack jeté with me and Coco hosting. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. So where I want to end it, because it is Portland's Pride weekend and we have been performing in drag for 6 weeks and it's been so hard. I want to say this, everybody, as we go into the weekend, because this is going to be an episode that comes out before Portland Pride weekend, be safe. Love each other fully. I hope that we get through this weekend with all of the love and all of the safety and all of the acceptance that we expect to see. I hope nothing goes wrong. Knock on wood, of course, because it is going to be a big Pride Festival with lots of different things. Like I said, I'm hosting Pride Main Stage 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday. I'm at Rise with Karaoke on Saturday night, and I'm hosting Chill Doll by Katya Presents from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. on Sunday as kind of a relaxing thing after Pride. And then DJ Queer Cub is doing the iconic boat ride.
The boat ride.
The boat ride.
So iconic.
With Mariah Paris Balenciaga.
Oh, I love Mariah.
Yeah, love
Mug Mariah. For days.
Mug for days. So thank you everybody for watching. Be safe out there. I love you all. Everybody in the room, say bye.
Goodbye now.
Hi everybody, this has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. please follow us online at www.ajemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.